How are you today? Good, a couple of you are. That's good. Worship was just wonderful today. Just, God is so good. And I just thank the worship team for helping lift us up into his presence as we sung and worshiped him in spirit and in truth. God is good. Amen. I've learned that over the past 50 years of being a Christian. I didn't start out that way. I started out fearing this horrible God that did horrible things to people and whatever. But I've learned over the years that God is love and that he's good. And he has good in desiring for our lives. And so I just worship and praise him for that. I'm going to take us into Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 through 20, focusing mostly on verse 18. And this is at Ephesians side B today. This is my side B. I had taken Ephesians 6, putting on the armor of God and then praying as my last time that I spoke. Didn't feel like I was able to give adequate time to all of it or any of it, but yet took quite a bit of time to give what I did give. So today I'm hoping to give you quite a bit of time, to just take a look at something that Paul said here. And the title of this message is, It's Time to Pray. And so let's read the scripture, and then we will get into this. And I start in verse 17, and this is coming off the putting on the armor of God. And Paul says, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it as boldly as I ought to speak. So yes, we're talking on prayer again. I bet you've heard a lot of messages on prayer. You've probably read, if you're a reader, you've read a lot of books on prayer. There are books and books and books that have been written on prayer. There's seminars offered on prayer. There's ministries that are built just basically on prayer. Ministries that are involved with 24/7 prayer, praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So how's that for you? I'm not going to ask you to do that today. But prayer is just is something that's been with us. We talk about it a lot. We do it quite a bit. But Paul is admonishing us after the book of Ephesians has taken us from our exalted position in Christ in the heavenlies. The reason is because he wanted the Ephesians to know that they are above all the principalities and powers. See, Ephesus was a center for the worship of the goddess Artemis, or I lost track of her name, but Diana, I believe her name was. And they were the center for that worship, and they were steeped in worship of her and other gods. Small gods. And I don't know if you remember in the book of Acts when Paul ministered in Ephesus and people were coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it said they were bringing out their magic books and all their books, and they were burning them. They were repenting and getting rid of it. And when I talk about magic, I'm not talking about card tricks. They were involved in how to offer certain things to these gods, to hopefully manipulate the god to prosper them or protect them from other gods, protect them from evil. But they would offer all these type of little offerings, and they would have their bracelets that they would make and their talismans and all of these things, because they lived in fear of these gods. And they repented of that and brought out all their books of magic and so forth and so on, because they came to the realization that God is God. Jesus Christ is the Lord, and he's Lord over all gods. He's been exalted and lifted up far above all principalities and powers. And we too, or the Ephesians, had been lifted up too in the heavenlies. And so he went on through Ephesians, and he talked about how to live this out and walk this out, and we've talked about that. And then he gets to the point where he's saying, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. What we wrestle against is principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness, and these powers of darkness that are prevalent in Ephesus. And he says, we wrestle against them. So therefore, put on the armor of God, because you are more than conquerors in Christ. We are not about trying to defeat the devil or his powers. We are about standing in Christ in victory, as he may try through various means to defeat us. We're always battling with these spiritual entities and these spiritual dynamics from the winning side, as conquerors who are holding our position in Christ. And so all of this culminates, I believe, in this section where Paul is saying, take all of this, all of who you are, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, empowered by Jesus Christ in his name and his spirit. He says, take all of this and pray. Take all of this understanding, and now with that understanding, I want you to pray. And he says, pray at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. We'll talk about that. So we're going to talk about prayer today. Andrew Murray, I think I'm going to put that quote up. Is my head in the way? It's quite large. I'm just wondering if it's in the way. When Dawn talked about God having the numbers of our hair, numbers of hair on our head, I felt cheated. But Andrew Murray, who wrote a book called With Christ in the School of Prayer in 1895. I love reading some of the older authors and the Christians that were before us and some of the insights that they have as they too were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and this idea of prayer. But he says, though in its beginnings, prayer is so simple that the feeblest child can pray, yet it is at the same time the highest and holiest work to which man can rise to. It is fellowship with the unseen and most holy one. The powers of the eternal world have been placed at its disposal. In other words, prayers affect eternity. Prayers affect that spirit realm. When we pray, they go into effect, and they affect that spirit realm. They affect the heavenlies. And it says, the powers of the eternal world have been placed at its disposal. It is the very essence of true religion, the channel of all blessing, and the secret of power and life. Isn't that amazing? You know, we sometimes don't think of prayer and the power that's behind it and the implications that are behind it. Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And I've read books and heard preachers, and they say, you know, the disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us how to preach. Teach us how to teach. Teach us how to evangelize. Teach us how to, they said, teach us how to pray. I think prayer is one of the highest forms of service to the Lord because it does affect so much. You know, prayer is the power behind all the other work that goes on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be a beneficial for anyone to go through the Gospels and listen and read what Jesus teaches on prayer. And it's just amazing. If you want to know and learn about prayer, read the words of Jesus Christ and what he said about prayer. And you will pretty much learn everything you need to know. He taught us about praying in his name. He taught us about union with the Father. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Many things that Jesus taught. Taught us to pray in his name. I think I said that. Luke 18:1 says this. Jesus told them a parable, his disciples a parable, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Other translations say, grow weary or faint. Men ought always to pray, men, women, ought always to pray and not lose heart. And I ask you today, as I ask myself, have you grown weary? Have you lost heart? Do you feel faint and ineffective in your prayer life? Jesus said in another passage, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And in that passage, it's a small s on spirit. It's talking about the human spirit. The human spirit is willing to pray. Boy, I'd love to pray. But the flesh, the natural man, says, nah, I want to watch the Packers. Ooh, I just hit a really sore spot. But I don't want to get legalistic and all that kind of stuff. But the natural man doesn't want to pray. He's not interested in praying. But the Spirit is willing. And have you lost heart and grown weary in your prayer life? And I just encourage you to ask the Lord to help revive that in your own life. Don't condemn yourself. Don't, you know, go feel bad about it. Just know that it's common to man. It's common to every Christian to come to a place where you, I know I've been going through a season of dryness in my own spiritual life and my own prayer life. And you know, it's not necessarily even a cause behind that. It just sometimes happens. And so I have to, not have to, but I dig back into the Word of God. I dig back into the teachings of Jesus and get revitalized. And I read articles and books on prayer, and it helps revitalize my spirit, my heart to pray. Verse 18, Paul said, praying at all times in the Spirit. I've talked about this word times, pray at all times in the Spirit. What this is not saying is that we need to be praying all the time, all day long. That's not what this passage is saying. The unfortunate thing is the Greeks had two words that the English translated time, and one was chronos, where we get the concept of chronology. You know, 1 goes after 12, and 2 o'clock goes after 1 o'clock, and 3 after 2, and so forth, and just time goes on. The other one, the other word is kairos. I may not be pronouncing that right, but it's kairos, and it means an opportune time, a specific time, a time when something should be done. So 10 o'clock rolls around on Sunday morning. There's a kairos moment where we say, it's time for church. It's an opportune time. It's a time when something needs to be addressed, and it starts at 10. You know, so we, you know what I'm saying? It's a time in the midst of time that says there's something here that needs to be addressed. And that might not be the greatest example, but Paul is telling us to pray at all opportune and specific times. And these times come up in various ways. Pray at all strategic moments in the Spirit. Pray at all times, all of these opportune times that come up. One of the ways that opportune times come up is that ministry that Karen mentioned. The church has two prayer ministries. One is where a team of two comes up after a service and they pray for people. And if you desire to be a part of that, if you would contact myself or Karen, and we will start leading you in the right track to become a part of that. But the other aspect of the prayer ministry in the church is receiving emails from prayer requests. Is that how Elmer Fudd would say it? To receiving prayer requests that have been submitted to the church, and it goes out to all who have signed up to receive them. And we have an opportune time to then pray for that person that submitted that request. And that happens through that church app, which you see in the bulletin that's listed. But it can also happen through the prayer, the cards that you receive in your bulletin and in other means. And on that, if you write a request, you can have it for the prayer team, the prayers, and it'll go out to all the prayers that are signed up on that. Or you can want it privately just for the pastor. But nonetheless, you can make a request, and you can receive these requests. And I think it's a tremendous way in which the body of Christ ministers to one another. And we take opportune times, strategic times. We receive that email, and it's an opportune time to pray for that need. And just encourage you, wouldn't it be great for the whole church to be on that list? And just, you know when you fill out a request, you know that the whole church is going to be praying for you. That'd be wonderful. And we have a good fair amount of people that are signed up for it, and I just encourage you to do that and be a part of that. Let that be a part of your prayer life. The other way that we can pray strategic times or opportune times is when the Holy Spirit prompts us. You know, there may be a person or persons or a subject that the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray. That's an opportune time to pray. That's a strategic time to pray. You may not get to it right away because you're in the middle of traffic and they're about to run you down, but you get to it as soon as you can because it's an opportune time. And Paul is saying that we are to pray at all strategic times in the Spirit. So take time to reflect on the times that situations or people were brought to your mind. It was probably the Holy Spirit bringing them to your mind. And our response to pray in the Spirit for them at that strategic time is what Paul's talking about. Then in verse 18, he goes, praying at all times in the Spirit. And I'd never seen this before. It's not just praying at all times. He's saying pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to go off on the charismatic thing and their approach and their interpretation of that. Because it believes, the verse says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. That means with all kinds of prayers and all kinds of supplication. So it doesn't mean a specific type of prayer that some believe are a part of our prayer arsenal. I believe it, but again, it's just part of what is going on in prayer. Praying at all times in the Spirit. What does it mean to be in the Spirit? And what I believe it means basically is being in sync, in tune with the Holy Spirit who is within you. When you've come to Christ, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. He makes his home within you. and he dwells in your spirit. And he will lead you and guide you in prayer. And that to me is part and partial of praying in the Spirit, to be in sync with the Spirit of God, sense his leading during prayer. In Revelation 1:10, I really love this phrase. And John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches. And he goes on to record, you know, the entirety of the book of Revelation. But it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard. God desires to speak to us and can even do so in the hecticness of life. But I believe it's good for us to take time to be in the Spirit, listening to God. And he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, we don't have a Sabbath, as you know, and that as followers of Christ. And Sunday was the day of worship, and that's not necessarily the Sabbath. It's the Lord's day. You know, we just called it that. I remember when I was a kid, which was 100-some years ago, everything closed down on a Sunday. There were hardly any businesses open. You know, you had to do all your grocery shopping and fill your gas tank and all of that stuff on Saturday because nothing was open on Sundays. People had gone to church or not go to church, but either way, nothing was open. It was a day off. And I'm not suggesting that we go back to that. There's no way we would ever go back to that as a country. We're a secular nation now. We're not in any way, shape, or form a Christian nation. But I believe the Lord's Day is a good day to slow down. Whether that's a Sunday for you or a Monday or a Tuesday, whatever your work schedule allows, to take a day and not do anything, but take it a little easier and take some time in that day to slow down and spend time in prayer and thought and meditation in the presence of the Lord. See what he has to say. See what he would have you to pray about. We've got to somehow slow down, folks. Somewhere we have got to carve out some time to where we can listen and hear. Yes, I believe God can speak to us through the hecticness of life, and we're driving down the road and all of a sudden something comes to mind and we can pray a prayer then. Yes, I believe in that. But I really believe that it would be good for us to somehow find a slot of time where we get undistracted and it's just a time where we are in the Spirit and listen to what God may be speaking to us about and what he would have us pray for. Prayer is so essential, and the need of prayer, not just to pray for individuals and in each other about, you know, our crises and our personal issues that we're going through, but to pray for significant, not that our lives aren't significant, but for the gospel, the kingdom of God. What is God doing on the earth? What is he doing in the world? What is he doing? And, you know, what are we a part of in the bigger picture? I think it would be good, and let me leave quickly after this so that you guys don't attack me, but I think it would be good to read missionary stuff, you know, reports and what they're doing. I know that Josh is making that available to us, and will make it available to us more. And I even, there's things that come out that tell us what's going on in other nations and what God is doing in other nations. We don't need to know it all, but just to have a bigger sense that we are a part of something in our generation that is bigger than us and bigger than life in America, bigger than life in the West here, is going on all over the world. And I believe that would broaden our prayer life. That would broaden the ability of God to speak to us about something specific. We may not know the details. We don't have to know the details. And we don't have to approach the person if God lays a person on our heart. We just need to pray as the Holy Spirit leads. Amen. The Spirit helps us to pray. I believe that's part of praying in the Spirit. In Romans 8, 26, very familiar set of verses. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what prayers to offer, nor in what way to offer them. But the Spirit himself pleads for us in yearnings that cannot find words. And he who searches the hearts, he searches the hearts, and he knows what's in the heart. He searches the heart, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What this is saying is we need the help of the Holy Spirit, who has the mind of God on any particular situation that we have been asked to pray for. I think the very first thing we need to do when we hear a request is ask, what is your mind on this, Lord? What's the mind of God on this? For Romans says, verse 26 says, that he helps us in our weakness. And the weakness is we don't know what prayers to offer and in what way to offer them. Now, that might run against our pride. What do you mean? I know how to pray. I know what should be prayed for this situation. Move over and let me pray. No, he's saying that our weakness is our inability. The Spirit searches the hearts and knows the mind. He knows what's really needed in a situation, what's really needed to be prayed for, and how to pray for that. And so he helps us. The word helps means to take hold of with someone, to support, to help, to aid. And he comes alongside us and informs us and helps us to pray prayers that are in line with the will of God and the purposes of God. Paul is encouraging the Ephesian believers to pray Spirit-led and Spirit-filled prayers. And I believe Paul is encouraging us today to pray Spirit-led, Spirit-filled prayers. And all of us are able to do that because the Spirit lives in all of us and dwells with us and dwells in all of us. Does that make sense? Oh, okay. Should I go over it again? No, that's enough. I'm just about ready to take my watch off. And you know what it means when a pastor takes his watch off? Nothing. Then he goes on in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. That just means all kinds of prayers. There's a prayer of thanksgiving. There's a prayer of entreaty. Supplication means to entreat the Lord. There's the prayer of faith. There's prayer of worship. All of these. With all prayer and supplication, pray at all strategic, opportune times in the Spirit, as the Spirit leads. To that end, when you're engaged in that activity, he said, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Now, what it doesn't say is persevere in prayer. It's not saying persevere in prayer. Now, that might be said some other place, but that isn't what Paul is saying right here. What he's saying is, in the midst of your prayer life and your prayer time and these episodes with God in which you are praying strategic prayers for a strategic situation. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Persevere means to unremittingly continue in a thing. You're not going to give up on it. You're not going to quit on it. You're pursuing it. You're persevering in it. And what he's saying that we need to persevere in is alertness. To be alert. To stay alert. Weymouth translation of Ephesians 6:18 says, pray without ceasing prayer and entreating on every fitting occasion or opportune time in the Spirit. Be always on the alert to seize opportunities for doing so with unwearied persistence and entreating on behalf of all God's people. To be on the alert. That again means that we need to be a people that walk and are led by the Spirit. That we can be alert in our spirit for the occasion that arises for prayer. And I believe that one of the curses of our Western society is our preoccupation and the way the enemy has so caused our minds and our hearts to be so preoccupied with just daily living. Amen. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. You know, have your mind on him. And that doesn't mean you're walking around mindlessly doing your job, listening for the Spirit. But it does mean that we should be a people who we are walking around, engaging in our life, engaging in our society, engaging in our work, doing what we've been called to do in the workforce and so forth. But we also are engaged in being sensitive to the presence and the leading of the Spirit of God. We are alert. And especially when we're in our times of prayer, to be alert. Now, again, Paul is writing to a group of people that have been steeped in the occult and steeped in demonic worship and are wrestling, these principalities and these powers are wrestling against them, trying to destroy their faith, trying to discourage them, trying to pull them away from the things of God. And so it's good for us when we are in prayer to be on the alert, not necessarily for our own lives, but so to be, but for others. And again, I think that prayer chain is one of the ways in which we can be on the alert and go, oh my gosh, this person needs to be covered in prayer. Because the enemy is getting in there and trying to wreak havoc in their life. But to be persevering and being on the alert. Mark's gospel, Jesus was going to Gethsemane just before his crucifixion. And this is where he wrestled with where he was heading. He wrestled with the idea of going to the cross. He prayed to the Father that if he didn't have to do it, let it not be, but nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. But it says that he sweated great drops of blood and that he was intense in this time of prayer. But he had pulled some disciples aside and he said to them, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And this is where he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But he said, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. In other words, be watchful. Be on the alert. What's going on around you? What's going on in the spirit realm? And I know that sounds kind of spooky, but you kind of sense that when you're sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord and so forth. You can kind of sense, you know, there's oppression or there's something going on and the Spirit leads you to pray against it or whatever. But he said to be watchful. And you know what? The disciples failed to do that. They went to sleep. And you know what they ended up doing? Is giving in to temptation. They all fled from Jesus when he needed them. And even one denied that he even knew Jesus. Amen? So it just tells us that when we are engaged in the things of God, and as a church, a people of God, we're making progress in the realm of the Spirit. We're pushing against it every time we gather, and every time we love the Lord, and every time we love one another, every time we choose to worship the Lord, every time we choose to pray, every time we choose to serve the Lord. In all of those ways, we're pushing against the powers of darkness and saying, get out of the way. This is the kingdom of God at work. But you know what? They're pushing back. And they want to try to rip you out of fellowship and rip you out of the kingdom of God. And so watch and pray. Be alert. Colossians says, continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. How do we do this? Purposely exercise alertness during your devotional or prayer time. I trust that all of us have a devotional time. Most of the congregation came under condemnation. I used to too, when pastors would say that, because I didn't have one. I tried to have one. I didn't have one. I was like, oh no, I'm no good as a Christian. But again, those times that you can carve out and purposely be with the Lord, exercise alertness during those times. Take time to be extra alert to the voice of the Spirit. Pay attention to the Spirit when he speaks to you. How does the Spirit speak to us? I think the main way is through Scripture. But you got to pour Scripture in to your heart so he has something to work with. As you study the Scriptures and you are pouring that into your heart, he then has something to work with as he pulls it out and brings it to your mind, and you're able to use that word as a sword against the powers of darkness or against the situation that is going on. He speaks to us from just deep within our spirit and brings thoughts to our mind. Thoughts that come to our mind. That's how the Lord communicates with us, is through thoughts. But the thoughts come from within our spirit to our mind. And so sometimes those are hard to discern, but the more that we do that, the more we get used to the voice of the Lord. Other ways in which the Spirit speaks to us is through visions and dreams, which are a little bit more rare. But that's how he spoke to John, the Revelator. Gave him visions to hand out to the other churches. And so Paul is saying, make prayer, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and all supplication, all kinds of prayers and all supplications. To this end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And this is where I believe we need to try to get out of our world, our the world that, you know, just the little world that we function in for the most part. We have to try to get out of that and pray for all the saints. Because all the saints, again, are susceptible to the attacks of the enemy that come in various ways. All attacks are meant to pull someone away from following Jesus. God lays on our hearts people. And again, we may not need to know the details or even approach the person. Sometimes it's harmful to do that. You go up to the person and say, well, God told me to pray for you that you're beating your wife. It's like, no, don't go do that. Just pray that he stops. Amen. That went over big. Andrew Murray says again, there is a twofold use of prayer. the one to obtain strength and blessing for our own life. The other is the higher, the true glory of prayer, for which Christ has taken us into his fellowship and teaching. And that's intercession, where prayer is the royal power of a child of God exercising in heaven on behalf of others and even of the kingdom. So he's saying here that prayer is twofold. It's prayer for ourselves, but the highest form of prayer is prayer for others. And lastly, Paul requested prayer for himself. And he requested prayer that words would be given to him and that he would speak boldly. And that word boldly just means to be open, to speak openly with freedom of speech, with confidence and clarity. Now, Paul, the principalities and the powers are running interference and attempting to keep the word from being presented and received. Wherever Paul went, he encountered that. Whenever we preach and teach, we encounter that. That the principalities and powers are trying to resist that word, even from entering your own mind and your heart. And we have to continue to push that aside. They will attempt to confuse and frustrate the mind of hearers so that they don't understand what's being taught. The power of the Spirit will break through that as the speaker is anointed and enabled to speak clearly and openly. That's what the idea of speaking boldly means. And this told me that we need to be praying for ministers, for lack of any other name. Someone who is called to proclaim the gospel. A pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a missionary. We need to be praying for them as Paul is asking prayer for his ministry. And his concern was to proclaim the gospel openly and clearly and confidently. And so our prayers for those who are called to speak out the gospel and to proclaim the gospel, we need to pray that they would have the boldness and the clarity to do it. We don't want to get bogged down with their needs. You know, sometimes, you know, just concerned about their need. You know, oh, Lord, provide a new jet for them or whatever it is. We're concerned about, is the gospel going forth? Is it being proclaimed clearly and openly and confidently? And we pray for them. We pray for ministries. It's the calling of the church to be doing that. And so you can add that to your prayer time in strategic and opportune times to pray. Let's conclude. Chapter 6 of Ephesians has taught us that the Christian is involved in a battle. However, God has given us the equipment to conquer any and all the attacks of the principalities and powers. We are called to put on God's armor, which secures us so that we can engage in prayers for the will of God to be released into situations that attack the saints and for the advancement of the church and the kingdom of God. That, to me, is sums up Ephesians, especially Ephesians 6. Prayer is important. Prayer accomplishes. The prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Prayer affects the spirit realm, drives principalities and powers crazy. It just drives them nuts, confuses them, whatever. Just kidding. But it affects that. Don't ever think your prayers are ineffective. They are going to work and affecting that spiritual realm as we call out for the kingdom of God to come. Let me ask, do you have a designated time to watch and pray? If not, ask God to help you find a time that you can set aside on a fairly regular basis, uncluttered from everything else. I know that's hard to do. It's very, very hard to do. But try to find that time. And secondly, have you lost heart? and given up on praying. Ask God to renew your prayer life. He told him a parable to the effect that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your word is a challenge to us. And Lord, I ask that you would help each and every one of us today become a person of prayer, become a person of sensitivity to your Holy Spirit, become a person who is aware of what you, Lord, are doing in the church and in other people's lives and what you're doing in the world, what your plans and purposes are. Help us to become those people that partner with you to accomplish the will and purposes of God, that they may be released on the earth as they are in heaven. Bless these people today. And Lord, as they continue to pray, may they feel and sense that their prayers are effective and powerful and are encouraged to pray even more. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.